2 years ago, Greg and I, for our honeymoon, went to Italy. Stepping off the train in Naples, we took a taxi to our hotel. Along the way, there were thousands of messages scrawled out in Italian on the buildings. Whether in elaborate carvings or rebellious spray paint, a little bit of Google Translate helped me, as it taught me the messages ranged from, "I'll love you forever," "Save the planet," "Go home, dumb tourists," and the ancient, important wisdom of insulting another's mother. But there is something romantic about that for me. Not the insulting one mother, but that's rude. But about all of these artists deciding to do something that will make them memorable for dozens or hundreds of years. This is where we enter Little Women, a 150-year-old book that has been adapted into many movies. It centers on four sisters as they grow and try to find their place in the world. They must choose between love, independence, family, wealth, fame, success, and loyalty. The two sisters that resonate with me the most, at least as a story, are Jo and Amy. One becomes a writer. She's the one that scorches her dress and insists that she's going to be interesting. Amy is a painter. She's the one that goes to Paris to both find a wealthy husband and to grow in her craft. Both want to be remembered. And a couple of beautiful scenes from the film that we saw here, in case if you didn't quite hear it, both Amy and Jo have come to terms with what it means to want to do their art. Amy says, "I have lots of wishes, but my favorite one is to be an artist in Paris, to do fine pictures, to be the best painter in the world." Their sister, Beth, says, "That's what you want to do, isn't it, Jo? To be a famous writer." Jo replies, "Yes, but it sounds so crass when she says it." For us, it does sound a little bit crass, doesn't it? We're taught not to want to be famous, not to be successful, not to be good. We're taught to be humble about our gifts. Be good, but remember that there's millions of other people that got you there. Be famous, but not that famous, and don't get too big ahead. Both want to create because they see beauty in the world, because they want to be famous. They want others to appreciate their gifts and celebrate their work. Both want to be remembered, right up there with geniuses ancient and contemporary. Like I said, we're taught that humility is virtue, pride is sin, vanity is a flaw. But what's so wrong about wanting to be remembered? As I said, this week's gospel is from the Ash Wednesday service, and Jesus instructs his followers on what, quote unquote, good prayer looks like. We're instructed to pray in secret, not big shows of prayer giving or alms giving. Be humble. I will pointedly ignore the 15-foot-tall stained glass window of Jesus behind me, because why do we want to be public in our piety? And why is Jesus telling us off for doing so? I think that our answer to this question, yes, it lies with God, but for this week, it lies with Amy and Jo March. To them, the worst thing in the world is to be forgotten. They have lived through poverty, and to spoil an over century-year-old book, one of the sisters dies, and they've been through that, and they still say the worst thing in the world is to be forgotten. whether alive or dead, to be ignored and left invisible to the world. It's a tragedy. And so the fear of that becomes our human condition. We build pyramids to be remembered, and we spray paint over them in swear words. It's better to be infamous than ignored. We construct memorials and statues and endowment funds and family traditions that go back to the most important plea a human can make to another human. Don't forget me. Remember me. See me. Hear me. In your heart of hearts, do not let me become a lost memory. No, I impacted the world. Amy is willing to leave her family and travel to Paris with a crotchety old aunt to be remembered. Joe is willing to risk poverty again. She's done it once before. She will continue to do so to be remembered. It's better to be a starving artist than a rich bore, she thinks. And it is one thing to do that under the assumption that humanity may forget us. They might. But for me, I think the biggest flaw Jesus is steering us away from is to think that God will forget us. We fear being forgotten, so we pray in public. We will be known as the most pious and the most devout so that God will remember us when we get up to the pearly gates. It's that old joke. When you get up there and St. Michael looks at the little black book and says, Roberta, Roberta, I don't remember you. We fear that on some level, don't we? We pray and praise and give alms, not just the odd anonymous donation, but cathedrals in the names of saints with plaques the size of a school bus on the side. And it works, doesn't it? With all respect to the Massey family, their philanthropic works have graced all parts of Toronto life in the past century, to the point that there are music halls and hospital wings and charitable foundations. We know their name. They will never be forgotten. But God never forgot them in the first place. God will never ignore us. We are never invisible to the one that breathed life and spirit into our bones. When we plead to God, don't forget me. Don't forget that I'm here, struggling with the rest of your creation. See me, hear me, love me. Maybe if I build a shrine to you, you will remember I'm your faithful servant, O Lord. Maybe if I build another orphanage wing, maybe if I spray paint my love for the divine on a Naples hostel. Maybe if I put in a large stained glass window with a plaque on the bottom. I won't be forgotten by Christ. The season of Lent is about taking a long, hard look at our relationship with the holy. Are we listening to God? Are we following the ways of Jesus? Are we paying attention to the Holy Spirit that moves through us all? Yes, some of us will decide to give up French fries or chocolate, or for me, Uber Eats delivery, the ultimate sin. But it is about something deeper, isn't it? I think we find our real fear during Lent, not if we're following Jesus enough, but if God remembers us, if God sees out of the 7 billion people on this planet, one little dot that is you and me. Or will we be just like the shadows of memories back in our own minds of the people in our lives that we can't remember? Elementary school friends whose names escape us. The person on the street who you know is homeless but whose face you can't quite recall. The struggle of a Syrian refugee boy found in water whose picture is engraved on our minds, but name? Maybe not. Will we be forgotten? My friends, no. Simply no. We are never forgotten. We are remembered. We are called and whispered comforting words and embraced in arms that are warm and defended against all and celebrated for all that we can do. We are loved by the fount of love. God never forgets us. God sees us not as a single dot amongst 7 billion, but a whole human with history and story and personality. And with that, we are loved. As long as there is spirit in our bones and a creator that is present in the universe, we will be remembered by the universe at large. We do not need to write brilliant works, paint masterpieces, or spray paint graffiti swear words on that Naples hostel. We can pray and praise and save the world, one blue whale at a time, but do it because it connects us to God. Do it because it's life-affirming. Do it because God calls us to do it, because it makes the world a better place. But don't worry while you're doing it about trying to be remembered. How could God forget you? Amen.